Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg.
And I'm your host, Deborah Bunka.
They say that change is inevitable, so today we are talking about change. We'll be talking with people who are involved with changes in Ames, including roads and infrastructure, and bigger changes that affect the very look and atmosphere of our town. We'll be talking about proposed plans for development of Campus Town. We'll be talking with Lynn Carey, too, Interim Director of Ames Public Library, for an update on the remodeling of their building. And finally, KHOI is changing, too. We're getting ready to build our broadcast studios, and we'll tell you all about that. Until we have our studios built here at KHOI, we're broadcasting from the storefront window of the Ames Pantorium building here on Douglas Avenue in Ames. Right now, we're looking out the front window, actually, and what we see is interesting. The street as we know it is gone. Douglas Avenue is a dirt road right now. In fact, it's not a road. It's a hill of dirt. And as we began speaking, a big machine came crawling over the top of the dirt, kind of up a little hill, and then backed out again. So we've been watching a lot of big machines out here. And we asked some experts to come in and explain to us what's going on. So Doug Waite, you're the project manager, and you kindly agreed to come join us and explain all this. Doug is the manager of Construct Incorporated, which is the prime contractor for street and infrastructure renovations happening in Ames. Welcome, Doug, and thank you for coming.
Good morning.
So what are we looking at?
Well, it looks like a bomb went off, kind of, but the overall plan is to replace the underground utilities, provide a new street, and new sidewalks from building face to building face. Street will go in first, and then we'll tear out sidewalks about half at a time so we keep access to all the businesses.
So there's a number of different projects going on here. Can you explain to us what the different undertakings are?
Yeah, well, the first phase is to replace the underground storm sewers, sanitary sewers, and water main. And then after that, we have to repair the subgrade to prepare for the pavement. And so far this spring, we've dealt with a lot of weather issues, so it's taking a lot longer than we had hoped.
What necessitates redoing this? Are they out of date?
These utilities are pretty old, probably approaching 100 years, I would guess.
Okay, so Justin Clausen is with us as well to help explain this. Justin is with the Public Works Department of the City of Ames. And you're the construction supervisor for the Ames Public Works Department. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I think Doug hit it on the head. The utilities are aging. I know the water main is from the 50s, and some of the sanitary sewer is probably older than that. I don't have an exact date on it, but it's from the early 1900s.
Wow. So
there's some really aged infrastructure. The street itself was in pretty bad disrepair. It's been had new surface put on it in the past. So while we do that, we evaluate the underground utilities and make sure if they need to be replaced, we do that at the same time.
So you're saying that the infrastructure under the street has never been replaced since 1900?
I think the sanitary sewer is that old. Some of the water main has been upgraded and things like that as development has happened. You know, this is a historic area of the downtown, obviously, next to the historic building. You know, a lot of that was put in originally, and, you know, we're just dealing with it now because it hadn't needed upgrade before necessarily, but since we're putting in the new street, we don't want to put a brand new street over something that might possibly fail in the next foreseeable future and have to tear up a new street.
Last year you redid in front of the library, now this, so are you going to be doing more?
Yeah, there's a program that City Council approves for upgrading downtown streets. So this year right now, Douglas is in the program. In the future, we're looking at Clark Street over kind of the west end of downtown, and eventually 5th Street itself will be reconstructed as well. We're trying to upgrade all the downtown streets to really provide Ames that the business area down here to really upgrade it for the businesses.
So how do you decide the schedule for that? How do you prioritize?
There's a lot of data that goes into that. Every street in the city gets what's called a pavement index number. So it tells us how the pavement, what shape it's in. And then we look at priorities and things such as where our water main breaks may have been, where our patching crews have been, and then look at basically there's been, for lack of a better term, you drive around and you look at the worst streets, and those go into a big spreadsheet and program. We kind of get priorities that way, and we present that to council, a five-year plan to council every year, and we ask for their input and their approval. So they approve that every year, and that changes a little bit from year to year just depending upon if there's a bad winter and a street's deteriorated at a more accelerated rate, possibly that street might move up. But for the most part, it's kind of stayed the same.
So it's your job to make sure that this project runs smoothly and that to solve problems along the way. Is that correct?
Yeah, I work really closely with Doug. There's a plan that's put together. Like I said, that's approved by council, and a professional engineer designs it. But there are always things that we can't foresee. Especially with the underground utilities, we may have an idea what's down there, but then all of a sudden you find something that nobody knew about. So part of what I do is help either provide interpretation or provide some guidance as far as how to proceed forward and do what's in the best interest of the city and everyone involved. And I also do a lot of coordinating with businesses or residences to let them know that this the street work is happening. I'm a point of contact if anybody needs information.
In terms of that, how much anger do you deal with? We know it's not always a welcome thing to have construction in front of your house or especially your business.
A lot of times it's not so much anger as a lot of what you find is of people being unaware.
Confusion,
exactly. We try to send out notices well ahead of work happening. Like if we plan to do this work, we'll put notices almost a year in advance to ask for input from the neighborhood. A lot of times it's just easing people's concerns that we're here in their best interest as well.
That's why you see us working one block at a time, too. It helps.
If we could back up just for one second, underground utilities, what are we talking about there?
Doug had mentioned the sanitary sewer. Yeah. So basically, if you turn on your sink, that's where the water goes. The water main, basically what comes out of your sink, that's the treated water. And then and finally, storm sewer, which is like rainwater or snow melt, as recently we've shown. those three utilities are the main underground utilities that we have in the city. There are private-owned utilities such as gas mains, telecommunication lines that private companies do. They do their own schedule of work. If we have a street open and they need to upgrade something, sometimes they do piggyback on our work.
What are these big concrete boxes that the cranes keep lifting around?
Trench protection. There's laws dictated by OSHA that requires not being able to get down into a trench without certain sloping or trench protection on a project that's confined like this is, and it's deep. The utilities are deep. That helps limit the amount of excavation to get down and repair the facilities.
So these concrete boxes are not permanent structures in the street. They're there to protect the workers.
Yes.
While they're down in the ground. Interesting.
That's correct.
One of the things that has really fascinated us is that the crane operators, or I don't know if crane's the right word, but the heavy equipment
operators. The excavators,
They move actually quite quickly and make large movements, and often just like swing right by our window. It looks like they're just going to come right through the window. And sometimes there's two of them at the same time moving. What goes into the training of somebody like this? Because the level of skill is obviously very high.
Lots of years of experience. Starting on smaller equipment. Typically these are our best operators that on the excavators.
Is it ever a concern hitting things, or is that kind of something that we worry about that never happens?
No, it is, and it happens. Not too often, fortunately.
Doug, as a person kind of more, on the ground and in the actual work, what kind of questions do you get?
When's it going to be done?
And what does a project like this cost? What is it costing the city to do this block here?
I couldn't tell you what the block is because this project is part of an overall project from Main up basically up through 7th Street. So it's three distinct phases, three distinct blocks. Each one is actually different than the other one. The scope of work is a lot different between the three blocks. This is the most difficult one by far. The overall project was about $1.2 million for this entire stretch.
This entire stretch meaning?
From Main up to 7th. For the whole project, it's about $1.2 million.
And that's taxpayer dollars?
Yes, that's funded through general obligation bonds and things such as funds that are set aside for the water main from the sanitary sewer. There's funding sources at the city, but yeah, it is taxpayer funds.
The weather obviously has hampered what's going on out here. Is it impossible to work on rainy days? And how long delayed will this project be?
I would say it's not impossible to work on rainy days, but a lot of times, as Doug had mentioned before, how confined things are here. What we don't want to happen is have a long trench opened up in a deep hole and then have the rain or possibly snow, as happened recently, come. And basically that water will soak in really deep, and it's really hard when we go back to prepare the subgrade before we pave to get things to dry out. So we try to minimize that, because possibly not working one day might save us, if the rain comes, it might save us a week if we happen to work that day and get everything wet all the way down 13 feet deep.
So obviously there's a lot of digging going on. Listeners might be able to hear some of that work going on. But what's the strangest thing that you have found when you've dug into the ground?
Well, one of the big obstacles on this project is the sidewalk in front of the octagon. That sidewalk is actually the roof of the basement inside the building. Created some challenges for this particular area.
We did know that going in, but as Doug mentioned, it's going to be there's going to be basically a structural sidewalk, almost similar to like a bridge deck built over the top of it. That is going to pose a difficult challenge when we get over there to build it. But we plan as best we can for it, and until we remove the actual sidewalk, we may not know how difficult it is until we get back to reconstruct it. But
so does this ever end for you? Does this just one block after another for the whole season until winter?
Pretty much. It's it's going to be really intense here now that the weather is hopefully finally broken. We lost a lot of time in April due to the weather, as Doug had mentioned. I think it's going to be really intense until the end of the year. This past winter was pretty hard because it was pretty cold, so there wasn't much work going on, so it was nice to have a little bit of downtime. But there's been winters where we've worked straight through, too.
Is there some place where if one can find a plan for what's happening, is if somebody wants to see what block is next? Or
absolutely. There's a on the City of Ames website, www.cityofames.org, you can click on the Living tab and then click on something called the Construction Update. That's something that I update once a week at least, sometimes more than that during the summer. It says basically all of our ongoing projects and what status they're in, and who to contact if you have questions. It has my contact info on there, and some of the contractors if you have their questions, too.
So is there anything that people can do to help this process when it's in their neighborhood? Stay out of the way, I guess.
Be patient, yes.
Yeah, I think being patient, and if you do have questions, don't hesitate to contact us. I mean, we know it can be an inconvenience sometimes, and we don't want it to be that way. We want to be part of the solution. We want them to be part of the solution, too. So if they have concerns, by all means, contact us and let us know, and we'll do everything we can to help out.
Okay, and how can they contact you?
They can call the Public Works Office, 515-239-5160, or our contact information is on the Internet, www.cityofames.org.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Waiting for, and my time was running wild, a million dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
This is Local Talk on KHOI award-winning community radio. And we are your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg.
And Deborah Bunka.
And we are talking about changes going on in Ames. We were told that the public library is closed.
Well, as far as I can see, it looks pretty open to me, Ursula. As a matter of fact, from here, it looks like the walls are gone. Lynn, you're the interim director of the Ames Public Library. What's going on and where is the library?
Yeah, where is our library?
Well, we have a very fine library that is temporarily located at 620 Lincoln Way in the Lincoln Center. But the building that we're all very attached to is pretty unattached right now. We're looking out the window at pretty much a raised building. Very, very exciting. I think all of us who were looking at the demolition plans were still shocked to see that there was quite so much demolition that went into the construction project. People keep asking, how's your construction project going? And I'm like, at this point, it's a destruction project. But we will be seeing big changes over the next few weeks. The structural steel's being delivered in the next few days, and then things will start going up.
So right now, a lot of what we see are some steel beams, really.
Yes, and those are the steel beams from the 1984-85 edition.
So they can stand up without the rest of the halls?
They can. They are.
I think you're right that most people are very surprised, myself included, that so much of the library has been taken down.
Yes, and the reason for that is to bump out space where it indented before. So what we were committed to was retaining the 1904 and 1940 historical buildings, and now
that's the Carnegie Library, the original.
Absolutely, that's the Carnegie is the northeast. East corner building that now you can see very well, that was kind of obscured by the 84 edition for many years, and the 1940 edition, which is everything to the west of that on the north side. So what we needed to do was take down the walls that where we could then pop the building out and get more square footage. So we did keep part of the facade of the 1984-85 building. But the rest of it is all going to be replaced. We're using the original structure and then adding to it where we can, and of course a new two-story addition in the southwest corner.
What's the projected date of reopening?
We are hoping to have a grand opening in late summer, very early fall of 2014.
And how are things going at the other location?
This last month, we met the same number of circulations as last year at this time.
That's impressive.
Absolutely shocking, really. We knew that we were busy, but feeling busy in a space that's much less than half of the space that you are used to just seemed natural. So we were pretty surprised when we got our statistical report for the month, and we've met what we were doing last year. We are seeing lots of new people coming in to that space, and we know that they'll happily follow us when we come back to a brand spanking new, beautiful, renovated building.
So just in case somebody does not know where you are, could you explain again, just very...
Yes.
Specifically where you are?
The temporary location of the library is at 620 Lincoln Way. It's in the Lincoln Center next to Hobby Lobby. And that's the Lincoln Center is where the Hy-Vee East is.
I happen to have seen the plans for the new renovations, and they're just amazing, really beautiful. Has the public really had a chance to see that? And what do you think their reaction will be when they do, when the doors are open?
I think it will be similar to the reaction to the demolition, that we kind of knew what was happening, but when you see it, it's so much more than you thought. And so, yes, people have had a chance to see the plans. I think a lot of people kind of put it on the back burner because it takes so long for a project like this to unfold. But when they walk in the building, they will be so surprised and so excited, because it will be so much more than any of us can envision at this point by looking at plans on a piece of paper. If people are interested in looking at more specifics, they can visit the library's website at www.amespubliclibrary.org.
Okay, well, thank you, Lynn. We're speaking with Lynn Carey, who's the interim director of the Ames Public Library. And basically, you're saying the plans, the renovation's on schedule.
It's on schedule, and everything's going very well, and we're very anxious to get back downtown.
And the fact that the building seems to barely be there is really an indication that change is happening. What do they say? To make scrambled eggs, you have to break an egg. So that's the stage we're at.
Yes,
right now.
We have... eggs. We have yolk and shells and
mostly shell right now.
Right. Boy, we're going to have a beautiful omelet.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Keep us updated.
Thanks.
Our changes are taking the base I'm going through. Rock and rollers, changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes. Pretty soon now you're gonna get older. Time may change me, but I can't trace time. I said that time may change me, but I can't trace.
We're talking about change today in Ames, and we're doing it from the storefront of the Ames Sanatorium. And what you hear in the background is change. It's the sound of the reconstruction of Douglas Avenue. We have a big machine going back and forth in front of us with digging dirt and climbing hills and making holes and
Making noise. On this portion of Local Talk, we're looking at the changes taking place in Campus Town and the proposed plans for development of the section of Campus Town and Lincoln Way between Welch and Stanton. We'll touch on that. And with us to discuss the Campus Town Action Association and the changes, we welcome Kim Hanna, director of the Campus Town Action Association. Hi, Kim.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The Campus Town Action Association is a fairly new organization. Can you tell us how it came about and what's your mission?
Sure. The Campus Town Action Association has been started several times over the last 20 years by different groups who wanted to focus on a specific project in Campus Town, and once that project was completed, the organization kind of disappeared or went into hibernation. And then about 2.5 years ago, an Iowa State student came in, and she's very excited and very motivated to really jumpstart something in Campus Town, and she and a group of business owners got together and restarted CAA and put together a board of directors and put together a mission and a vision statement for the organization, and then went and got funding to bring in a full-time staff person. And I came on board last August, and I'm the first staff person, full-time staff person, that CAA has ever had. So that's very exciting. And I'm actually from Central Iowa, so it was fun to come back to my roots.
So what exactly is the mission of the CAA?
The mission of CAA is to leverage partnerships with stakeholders in the community to come together and create an entertainment district, a social destination in Campus Town for people of all ages. We don't want to lose our fantastic college student customer base, which we have, but we also want to encourage people of all ages to come to Campus Town and shop local and use what we have that is such a great area of small business right here in West Ames.
You're working to bring Facade Grant,
yes,
program that was successful in,
yes,
Maine,
absolutely,
to Campus Town as well?
Yes. As everyone who's been in downtown Ames has seen, the Facade Grant program here has been very, very successful in totally changing the look of some of the businesses down here, and that's something that we are also looking into for Campus Town. we're working with the city to put together a facade program grant in Campustown, similar to what is in Main Street, with slightly different tweaks. We're not necessarily going to have ours focus on a specific historical time period in the history of Campustown, but to just improve the overall exterior of some of the buildings that make them more welcoming to the wider Ames audience.
The most apparent addition to Campustown of late is the intermodal facility.
Yes.
What do you think that has done for the area?
One of the biggest complaints we've heard is that parking is a really big issue in Campustown, and so having this giant parking garage in the heart of Campustown is a fantastic addition. It is a great way for you to come, park your car, and be able to spend 2-3 hours in Campustown getting lunch, doing some shopping. We have almost 100 spaces available for public parking right now. There is... And there is the opportunity for more. As the need arises, there's the opportunity to open up more parking to Campustown.
So the intermodal facility, that brings together, as the name implies, several modes of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got buses that travel outside the city, connector to the connector bus that takes students free throughout campus.
SciRide, as I understand it, does not go through the intermodal, but we have several other routes that go right through Campustown as well. The intermodal is parking for cars. It is I don't know if it's Greyhound or Jefferson bus line, but Jefferson bus line comes through there. Executive Express, which is a business that charters people to mostly shuttles to the airport in Des Moines, but you can also hire them to shuttle you if you need them for wedding receptions or something like that. It also connects with the bike paths from West Ames. And there are showers and lockers at the intermodal.
I wanted to ask you, we wanted to talk about the change happening in Campustown,
mm-hmm.
and we have a release which basically describes it on paper. Would you prefer that we do this and that you respond to it, or that you don't, or not at all?
I can respond to the release.
This is from Ames Patch, March 27, 2013. Kingland Systems is asking the city to change a zoning requirement set in 2005 that requires a building's facade to step back 15 feet from the right-of-way if it's higher than 30 feet. The Clear Lake Software Company purchased 9 Campustown buildings within the 2400 block of Lincoln Way near the end of 2012 and said it planned to replace the buildings with a 3-story office and retail structure. The council said they were open to removing the setback but wanted more details from the architects before making any decisions. After Ryan Jeffrey, Campustown Action Association president and owner of Arcadia Coffee, said they were excited about expanding but wanted to see a more concrete plan before any decision is made. The council also agreed to take feedback from the Campustown Group and the Historic Preservation Commission. In a letter to the city, Kingland CFO Todd Rognes said they hope to construct a new 3-story building on the block of 2400 Lincoln Way that would provide workspace for as many as 400 people and 14,000 square feet of retail space. However, the setback requirement would increase construction by about 25%. Ron Fiskus, a representative of the company, said Kingland Systems hopes to find other alternatives to the step back that would allow them to build a taller building that fit in with the design of the neighborhood. Kingland Systems hopes to begin construction this summer. The affected buildings in the area along the 2400 block of Lincoln Way and the north half blocks of Welch and Stanton would include the former theater currently occupied by Kingland Systems and Charlie Oaks at the corner of Welch and Lincoln Way.
It's a large chunk of area in Campustown, and as Ryan said in the article, we are excited for redevelopment. We're still waiting. Kingland is still working out their final plan, so nothing has gone to City Council yet. Nothing has been given to us as a final project yet, but they have been working with us throughout the entire process, getting feedback from us on what we'd really like to see to make sure that construction fits in with the mission and the vision of what we're working toward in Campustown as well. And they are a CAA investor. They are a very good member of Campustown, and so we're excited to have someone who's already in Campustown, staying in Campustown, bringing a lot of jobs to Campustown, and so we're excited about that.
The association is involved in talks.
They have been meeting with us throughout the process.
And have you been disseminator of information to businesses in the area yet?
Or? They've been working with the board, and until we have a final product, there's not really anything to give out to the business owners.
I just want to be clear on this. They will finalize their plans. It's not that they're starting construction before other businesses know what's going on?
Correct.
So overall, you think this is a good thing for Campus Town?
This is reinvestment in a community and in a district that has been looking for reinvestment for a very long time.
Okay. Do you have feedback from business owners? How are they feeling about it?
There are business owners that are affected directly with the construction, and as you can imagine, we're working with them to potentially find new homes. But overall, I think everyone is really, really positive about changes that are coming to Campus Town.
So will this change the way Campus Town looks?
It will.
There's no
drawings yet that are official to say exactly how it will change, but there will be some appearance changes in Campus Town.
We are talking to Kim Hanna, director of Campus Town Association, and we thank you for your time coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, and come back again as things develop.
I will.
And keep talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
In my little town, never meant nothing, I was just my father's son. Saving my money, dreaming of glory, twitching like a finger on the trigger of a gun.
Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with
Deborah Bunka,
and we're broadcasting today from the storefront of the Ames Fantorium. So what you hear in the background is the sound of City of Ames rebuilding Douglas Avenue. We've got two large pieces of heavy equipment who are currently digging large holes in the street.
That's the sound of excavation.
So we apologize for the extra noise, but be assured that it's the sound of your tax dollars improving the streets of Ames, Iowa. So, one longtime Campus Town owner is Rob Josephson, who owns Mayhem Comics and Collectibles. And Rob, welcome to KHOI.
Thank you.
You're not on a block affected by the sale, but you have been outspoken about former plans for Campus Town development. You were active in rejecting the Lane 4 development, which was a previous development plan that was proposed and would have affected your store, among others. What are your thoughts on the current Campus Town plans?
I'm not totally against it. I don't like the fact that it seems like the business owners that are affected by this block don't have the information that they need. I think that's important if you're going to work with the community, especially with small businesses. You've got to give those people time to react. You've got to give them time to be vocal, to come up with maybe another alternative to the plan. Now, I heard the last interviewer, and it isn't quite in stone yet, and I understand that, but I think the businesses, whether you're a lease owner or an actual business, should be involved from the very get-go. That was a mistake that Lane 4 in the city made, was they didn't involve us from the get-go. They just basically said after the fact, well, here's what we're going to do. And that didn't work well. It didn't set well. It didn't rest well with anybody in Campus Town. We feel that we provide a service. We provide tax dollars for the city. We give a place for the Iowa State students to come and enjoy themselves. And we feel that that should be a sort of respect that should be given back to us, that if they're going to do something that's going to affect our business, please get us involved from the very get-go. Because we may say, hey, whoa, this isn't going to work.
But if they wait until the finale of the plan, it might be too late for us to say what we'd like to say.
So that is a worry for you, that things will be more or less finished before anybody has any input.
Well, that's definitely the fear. I think everyone wants the same result. We want a better campus town. We want a cleaner campus town. We want more businesses to come in, more retail to come in. That's important for foot traffic. It's important to get the students, and more important to get the City of Ames residents to come down to campus town. Campus town's always worried about a stigma of it being dirty, you know, a bad place to bring your children. It's not true. Our store provides a lot of things for kids to do, and we invite parents to come down to that. So I think overall, you really want campus town to work. I mean, that's everybody's goal. But getting to that goal seems to be the problem.
You say you looked at the plans and you saw some things you liked about it. Can you describe a little bit what you learned when you looked at the plans?
I think it's important to show that the building itself, I mean, there's been a lot of controversy that the buildings will be too tall, they'll be more skyscraper-ish, they won't have a look that is cohesive to campus town. Well, I don't think there really is a look to campus town, to be truthful. I think it's kind of a hodgepodge. And I think anything that basically improves on the look or the feel is important, but it has to basically work with the people that are involved there, the people that own businesses, that own property. It can't just be shoved down your throat. And I don't think they're doing that, but I think, again, it seems to me that you should be getting these businesses involved from the very get-go. I know that's troublesome for planning because you have all these people with opinions, but it's better to have opinions now than it is when it's done and have all this outrage. So I'm hoping that they learn something from the Lane 4 incident. That was not well handled. It was kind of shoved down our throats. Nobody liked what was going on. I'm hoping this time around they kind of look at that. I know the Campus Town Action Association is trying to work really close with that, and I hope this time around we can get some results, because it's true, Campus Town is run down. It needs to be perked up. It needs to be renovated, but it also needs to take into effect their living, breathing businesses there. They have to be respected as well.
So let me be clear. What we're talking about is the possible removal of almost all the buildings on the block of Lincoln Way between Stanton and Welch. Is that correct?
That's what it looks like, including the Champlin Building, which has been there, I think, for over 100 years. I don't know if it's a great idea, but I do know that something has to be done now. Whether or not those businesses there right now have had an input, it's apparent. I don't think a lot of them know what's going on. So that worries me a bit, because you need to have these people say, hey, we don't want to lose our building. But I also know the Champlin organization that they were very adamant about being a part of Lane 4 when it was going on. So I don't think they're interested in keeping their building as a whole. So
these buildings that are on this street, were they all the property of Champlin?
No, I'm not sure how it breaks down. I'm sure there are, I know Randall Corporation has a stake in it too. I'm not sure what they own. But I know Champlin basically has the corner itself. The Champlin Building, I think, makes up about four businesses down there. So I think they're the ones that basically were the first ones to say, yeah, we'd like to sell our building. So I think with that in mind, it gave the project probably legs.
So the properties between those two streets essentially now belongs to Kingland Systems.
That's my understanding from what I've read, yeah.
And they will build a different building on that block.
That's what they're looking to do. I'm not sure what that plan is. I didn't see the actual detailed structural look of it, but what I read is it sounds like that's what their plan is to do. So, yeah, I think Lane 4's plan didn't work, and I'm hoping that with the city having this history in mind and the CAA, they can try to find a more easier way to get us all into this plan.
Part of the feel of Campus Town is that hodgepodge nature that you talked about. What would you like to see for Campus Town?
Structurally, the facades of the stores do need to be renovated. A lot of them are old, but again, they're not uniformed. It's not a strip mall. It's not supposed to be a strip mall mentality. It's supposed to be its own characteristic per building. So that's up to the property owner, but maybe the property owner needs to have some incentives, maybe some tax breaks, maybe some ideas. A lot of times they'll sit there going, well, we don't know what to do. Maybe it's time to come together with the property owners and say, here's what we'd like to do. What do you have in mind? And help them through it.
You don't think that's happening now?
I haven't been approached. I know we don't own all of our property, but we own some of it. My landlady has not been approached. The last time we were approached was through Lane 4, and it was an offer to leave and to pay us, and that was it. I think in general, Campus Town can't be structurally put into a box. It needs to have a lot of different options. And I know if they're doing this construction in the 2400 block, the 2500 block is probably down the road somewhere. So we will be approached at some point. I'd like to know about that before, well, the bulldozers pull up.
Thank you for talking to us, Rob. And hopefully at some point we'll have you back as things move along and we can discuss what's going on and what the future of Campus Town looks like. Kingland Systems was invited to join us for this discussion on Local Talk, but declined to participate at this time.
In my little town, believing God keeps his eye on us all. And he used to lean upon me as I pledged allegiance to the wall. Lord, I recall my little town.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we are your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg
and Deborah Bunka.
And we're talking about all sorts of change going on in Ames. So far, we've talked about the road and underground infrastructure.
We got a library update on their renovation project, and we've talked about proposed plans for Campus Town.
But before we go, we want to tell you about the changes happening here, close to home at KHOI. Here in the old Pantorium building, we are planning our broadcast studios.
And here to tell us what's happening are Joe Lynch, who is a KHOI board member, and Eric Bading, architectural graduate student employed by Integrity Construction.
Thank you for coming, Joe and Eric.
It's nice to be here.
And we ask Eric to come in because Eric is drawing up the architectural designs for our new broadcast studio. And Joe is the project manager for the construction of the studio. Eric, you happened to walk into the radio station about half a year ago, and now you're playing a key role here.
Yeah, when we started our studio at Iowa State across the street, we just happened to be walking around down here, and the whole class group walked in, and I think that's when I first met Debbie. And then later came into our studio, and I think that's when it kind of started. And I asked my boss from Integrity if we could do the work for you guys, and it's kind of transpired from there.
So Integrity Construction Company has generously included your making a design for our studio as part of your work duties under their employment.
Yes, that is the case. Integrity is a residential / commercial general contracting company here in Ames. We're located at 623 East Lincoln Way. I believe Brad's been in business for 6 years.
That's Brad Heemstra.
Brad Heemstra, that's correct.
What kind of project does Integrity usually do?
It is, I would say, half and half. It's half residential and half commercial. But Brad's experience is, you know, probably 90% commercial. And my experience is probably 90% residential. So it's a nice mix between all the employees with that residential commercial experience.
How many broadcast studios do you design?
I think this is my first one, to be honest. So this is a brand new experience for me.
You're getting a master's in architecture, or is it a master's of fine art?
Nope, it's a master's of architecture degree at Iowa State.
Tell us about the design. What's going on?
We're in the space right now, and it's rectangle, I would say, open. And the request was for a broadcast studio, two recording studios, and a small base for operations, while enclosing some of the existing mechanical rooms and some of the other features. The broadcast studio is the largest, and what's unique about that room is that Joe had requested that for the best sound quality, that the walls not be, you know, 90 degrees, that for the best sound, they want to be at different angles so as to bounce the sound around. So if you see the plan, it's definitely got some angles to it. And I think that's the key to the plan. As this is an ongoing process, Joe and I just talked about, you know, the two smaller recording studios having a movable wall between the two so they could even open up and be used as one room for maybe a small entertainment crew, maybe a small two-man band, three-man band to come in and play and be recorded. And then the rest of the space is just, you know, circulation, hallway space.
When you walked in to this back room where we're going to put the studio, what was your first impression of the space?
I see it as a large, just open space. The way you have it set up towards the front, you realize some of the downfalls of that. I like the fact that it's off the street and in the back where there potentially would be less noise. So I think that's the key, and that's the design makes sense to be having it back here.
And we've researched sound isolation techniques for the wall constructions and ceiling construction, and I think we can do a really good job of that.
Joe, by sound isolation, you mean that the space where the studio and the recording studios will be, they'll be quiet, for starters.
Yes, well, the idea there is there's a number of construction techniques out there that make it possible to really eliminate incoming sound from the studio. So our noisy alley and the beer trucks, etc., we think we can confidently keep that noise out of the studios.
Right now, where are you in the process?
Those of us that use the studios are still in the final stages of coming up with our needs for how we're going to use the space, and then that's got to be translated into a floor plan that we think we can build. So we're in the final stages of arriving at those decisions.
Is there any timeline? What is the projected start of construction?
Well, we have to submit the plans, get an architectural drawing completed, and submit the plans to the city, and the city has to approve of what we're going to do, acquire the appropriate permits. I'm not going to guess on a timeline at this point. I'd like to be started before certainly the month of June is over, if possible.
For you, Eric, it's consultation with our crew in charge of this?
Yeah, Joe's been a lot of help on this and will continue to be. I think next step, as we finalize the design, is to get a materials list going and see what kind of costs we're going to be running into material-wise.
Do you have a sense of what a project like this will cost?
I really don't. Since this is my first and the wall construction is so different, something like this will be easy to get a bid since it's not like a real big space and it's not super complicated. So I don't think there's any point in guessing.
And Joe, can you tell us how this project is being funded by KHOI?
Well, we have an anonymous grant that will help build a good chunk of it, but we're still needing donations to help finish the construction that we're going to be doing this summer.
As I understand it, they need approximately $7,000 to $10,000 more.
$7,000 to $10,000. That's our best guess at this point. Yes, we're building a broadcast studio and two smaller sound recording studios and all the needed electronic equipment to go in them. Okay. And we're still looking for, as board members, people that want to contribute to that. A couple of more significant donors would be really great at this point.
And what about construction help?
I've made a list of folks that have offered to help over the last 6 months, and we're going to need quite a bit of help. But I imagine the construction itself, once we get the details ironed out in advance, will go quickly.
Is this a fun project to work on?
Yeah, anything that is new is always a challenge, and I've had a little bit of experience with, coming from Omaha, I've dealt with some older buildings and the Pantorium. It's got some miles on it, and it's always interesting to see the different types of constructions and remodels states that a building has gone through. So there's some just interesting things that I've seen as far as wall construction with this building that I've never seen before. So I would love it to see if that you know, to keep some of the features that make this a great building, great space. It's like the building wanted to be a broadcast studio.
And you're the enabler.
We're just helping it on its way, I guess.
Well, Ursula, as director of KHY, can you just give our listeners a final glimpse into how having these studios built would really revolutionize what's going on here?
Radio stations are all about sound, and sound is actually a really complicated thing when you start recording it, because microphones don't do the kind of editing that our ears do, and they pick up all sorts of sound from anywhere. So the challenge for a radio station is to mechanically create the kind of high-quality sound that is going to be pleasurable to listen to on the air, because it's really, at the end of the day, all we've got to reach people. And so a broadcast studio will create the kind of professional and pleasurable sound that we want KHOI to have. It also will create a space for people to work. Right now, we're kind of working in a shell of a building, and we don't have good workspaces. We're fortunate in Ames to have a lot of people who are extremely ambitious and want to do production. They want to bring people in to interview them, record interviews, and there's quite frankly an ongoing competition of space here, because right now we have limited spaces where you can make good recordings, and we have a schedule on the wall, but there's a constant struggle over who gets to use the recording booth next, which is great news because it means that we have a lot of people who want to do radio. The bad news is we really don't have any place to do it right now. Basically, what we're doing is what a production company does. We do interviews, we make pre-recorded sound. So we're kind of like a production company with a radio station. And what we really want to be now is a radio station. So we want to have a place where people can come in from the community, can come in and actually do live radio shows, go on the air, come in, do their show, have people call into the station, speak to them on the air, and really commence with live broadcasting. For that, we need a studio.
And that's why we have Eric involved, and Joe's working hard to make that happen. So, Eric, before we go, could you tell our audience how they might get in touch with Integrity Construction?
Integrity's phone number is 515-268-3346.
Repeat that.
515-268-3346.
And do you have a website?
Our website is www.buildwithintegrity.com. And you can also like Integrity on Facebook.
Thank you guys for coming in this morning and talking to us about what's going on here at KHOI.
All right. Can't wait to come back. It'll be quite different.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Today we've been talking about changes taking place in the city of Ames. We've been speaking with Doug Waite, project manager with Construct Incorporated, and Justin Clausen, project supervisor with the City of Ames Public Works Department, about the infrastructure repairs happening around town.
We received an update on library renovations from Lynn Carey, Ames Public Library Interim Director.
In our second segment, we talked about proposed changes to Campustown with Campustown Action Association Director Kim Hanna and Rob Josephson, owner of Mayhem Comics and Collectibles.
Finally, we spoke with architecture graduate student Eric Bating and KHOI board member Joe Lynch about the planned construction of our broadcast and recording studios at the Pantorium.
You can find more information about any of these plans in the works at the following websites. For information on infrastructure repairs, go to cityofames.org. That's cityofames.org. To follow the library renovations, go to amespubliclibrary.org. And to find out more about Campustown, visit Campus Action Association on Facebook. My name is Ursula Rudenberg, and I've been your host today.
My name is Deborah Bonka, and I've also been your host for this show. Local Talk is engineered by Richard Morrison. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
You can listen to this show and all of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, and see listings of our past guests and resource contact information. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.